Conversely then, for the guys, Simplex M, 45 milligrams of the testicular protomorphogen, adrenal, pituitary, thyroid, the same relative amounts, general male glandular support, fatigue, male climacteric, the same as menopause, but for men. It does not grow hair. I stand as living testimony to the fact that we're not supposed to have hair. Yeah. In the beginning, God created a few perfect specimens, and he put hair on all the rest so that they would be readily identified. How does it compare to Viagra? Well, they're both really stand-up products. It's Viagra, of course, will do nothing for healing. It will ultimately screw up the endocrine system. Of course, how one goes about doing that is rather enjoyable, but nevertheless, the price one pays. The jury's still out on the effect long-term of Viagra. Nobody knows. It wasn't even really considered. It's just an amazing thing that Viagra got to market so quickly. It failed in its original clinical trials. It was released by Pfizer for the pains of angina attacks. It failed. It didn't do that. But when they tried to retract the samples back, the guys wouldn't give them back. The dog ate it. I can't find it. I'll get back to you on that. And they finally got someone to say, well, there's this interesting side effect. And excuse me, I've got to hop in my Corvette. I've got a date. Well, I can't hop in. I have to sit down carefully. It's really a problem for the morticians. Can't keep the lid down. Simplex M, 6 per day, down to 3. Question. Yeah, dihydroepiandrosterone. Yeah. Well, you mean we should do it naturally? That's better. Thank you for asking. Here's the point. All the DHEA stuff and all of that stuff. The wrong approach is, let me talk about studies. I'm going to get to your question in sort of a roundabout way. If I do a study, and you don't like me and you want to invalidate my study just because you don't know what it's about, but you want to invalidate it, what's the easiest way to invalidate any study? Find a single uncontrolled variable. Find some variable that was not addressed in the study design. And we can at least temporarily set aside your conclusion because you can't say with certainty this caused that. There's an uncontrolled variable. If I'm going to do research on, let's say, DHEA, in order to control all the variables, I must, in the experiment, give only DHEA. So I've got to concentrate that. I've got to extract it from its natural source and make it unnatural in the sense of delivering something that no one has ever eaten. I do the study, and I write it up. It's going to appear in the New England Journal, JAMA, or the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And the study says giving X amount of this substance produced this beneficial effect. Now, that's fine. That's just data. And as long as in the study design they gave their biases, because there is no such thing as an unbiased study would be a stupid study. Why would you be doing it if you don't have a bias? You're looking for something. Think about it. There's always a bias. Just tell me what it is. I get the study, and now where I take the result of the study is a function of my philosophic standpoint. One way to look at it is, DHEA helped this. Therefore, I must take DHEA as the study indicated. Well, you can extrapolate and get that, but Lee's approach and the approach of thinking people would be this. Humans have never consumed that. It can't be necessary in that form. We wouldn't be here. The way to interpret the study is, if this is necessary, what have I so done to the food supply that I'm either not getting it in its natural form or I am not eating the precursors that would allow my body to make that? The value of the study is to show us what we've done back here, not in America. In entrepreneurial America, study is out today. It's multi-level marketed next week. The tape is out within 2 days of the issue hitting the street. That's where we go. So now, with DHEA, the question should be, where do I make that? Well, I make it with the adrenals. I need healthy adrenals. Ah, so the additional is the issue is adrenal support, not taking DHEA, but supporting that portion of my anatomy or physiology that isn't functioning anymore. Will this help? Absolutely. And other things that we'll see. That's where we take these studies and go back to the food supply. But that's not the current so-called wisdom. Right. In, as is pointed out here, with the PMGs, understand this. The protomorphogen, either as the natural tissue antibody decoy or as the long-term growth-promoting and enhancing stabilizing factor, is not a nutrient. It is a mineral template which becomes part of a nucleoprotein complex and provides no nutrients. I could give all the PMGs in the world to a starving gland, and that starving gland would continue to starve. I have to feed that patient at the same time. So no case would get only this. They would always get this and at least Catalin for that very purpose. There isn't a nutrient effect. There is a template or other antibody effect, but not providing the raw nutrients. Long-term maintenance, start at 6 per day, therapeutically down to 3 per day, which you could do. I take Simplex M 3 per day once a week, couple times a week. Still trying to sprout that hair.
Oh, so it's not a daily thing then?
It starts daily. It can stay daily if the case warrants.
But then you can drop it back?
Then you can drop it back to 3. Or if you believe the endocrine system is now totally balanced, you can stop it entirely. The other thing that's all the rage now is what? Glucosamine sulfate. Whoa. Well, studies demonstrate that 500 milligrams taken 3 times per day help with collagen formation and can increase the integrity of the existing collagen structures. But no human has ever eaten glucosamine sulfate. So is it logical then to think that we must take 1,500 milligrams of something that people have never eaten? Wrong question. Good study, it shows that we need to go back to diet. So where does glucosamine sulfate come from? And I am getting to your question, but it's the philosophy behind it. We don't eat it. Where does it come from? Yeah, here's the problem, see? What we need to produce it, it requires first of all a healthy liver and a healthy adrenal. Well, there goes America. So maybe we do need to take it. What we need is an adequate intake of glutamine, an amino acid that we ought to be eating, and we need an adequate intake of sulfur-containing foods. Now, we're going to look in a little bit at the cytochrome P450 phase 2 liver detox system, and it's those same foods that support the liver that are necessary to make glucosamine sulfate. What are the sulfur-containing foods? Those items high on the American dietary list: broccoli, cauliflower, Spanish black radish, kale, Brussels sprouts, all of those things that people don't like because the president didn't like them, therefore we don't have to eat them. And so this is why America is in such dire need. Wait a minute, they are eating more French fries, so I suppose that's good. So we're in trouble. Now, just like with glucosamine, if I wanted to do that short term for an acute case, I have a patient who's in extreme or excruciating pain, nothing's helping. I don't have a problem if you say to me, no, I want to do this, as long as you say, but I want to do it so that it is of permanent value. Giving glucosamine sulfate is not going to provide a permanent fix. Watch what happens when they stop. There will be a rebound and reversal effect that'll take 6 months to a year, and they'll end up worse than when they started because I haven't done any permanent fixing. Now, the same thing then happens when I do something like DHEA. If I want to do that, I have to recognize that first I'm providing negative feedback to the adrenals. So I am not promoting healing and repair. I'm giving a signal that that's not necessary. But there may be a case where they're in severe shutdown and I think I need to do that now for a week or a month or whatever. At the same time, then I better come underneath and support it with food-based products to rebuild. And that would require, for my bet, Drenamin, which contains the adrenal protomorphogen, cataplex C and cataplex G. I would still do Catalin, and I would do Simplex F or M. So those four things would be, or three or four things would be automatic. And if I added this other adjunct, I would recognize that these extracts, no extract is a nutrient because it's not found that way. All extracts, concentrated extracts, have a pharmacological effect, not a nutrient effect. They can't. They're not part of their original nutrient base. And it doesn't mean it's bad. It's bad if it's overused and abused. So I can use it to facilitate short-term while I feed long-term. And that's all the difference in the world. That was Lee's only argument through all of this. It wasn't that the synthetic extract is evil. It was that it's essentially useless long-term. It isn't food at all. It's a drug without a prescription. We are not, in the main, the drugless profession. We are the drug profession without a prescription pad, the way we use most nutrients. We treat them like pharmacologic tools as opposed to feeding. Doesn't mean it's bad. It means understand when we do it that that's what we're doing. All right? So we'll see other examples with, since I mentioned it, glucosamine sulfate. If you were going to do that for a patient, you certainly would want to consider at the same time giving Astrofen, which we will look at, or Osterplex, or Rumaplex, the food products that will come along and provide for what's lacking in the first place. It's always something that was in the food supply that we have eliminated either from eating it or from the food itself because of what we've done to the soil.